The movie I, Robot opened Friday to mixed reviews. It's based on a classic collection of short stories published more than 50 years ago by science fiction writer Isaac Asimov. Many fans of the book were prejudiced against the film long before it opened, after reports that it only vaguely resembled its source. NPR's Netta Ulaby explores what happened in I, Robot's translation to the screen.
Isaac Asimov profoundly influenced the way people think about robots. Before I, Robot and other Asimov works, robots were generally imagined as Victorian-era curiosities, like the Tin Man of The Wizard of Oz, or they stood for the soulless menace of the industrial era. Asimov illuminated a futuristic world rooted in science, where people and robots build a culture together. His main character is Dr. Susan Calvin. She's a psychologist who works with robots. Over the course of many decades, she helps mold them into something almost more human than humans themselves.
Sonny, do you know why Dr. Lanning built you?
No. But I believe my father made me for a purpose. We all have a purpose. Don't you think, Detective?
That detective replaces the psychologist as the movie's main character. He's played by action star Will Smith. Smith's character is a complete invention of the movie, and so are the hordes of homicidal robots he battles single-handedly. In many ways, the movie seems more influenced by The Matrix and other successful science fiction films than by Asimov's book.
Hollywood often gets it wrong, I have to say.
Jeffrey Landis is one of Asimov's spiritual children. He's an award-winning science fiction writer and a NASA scientist who works on the Mars rover mission.
The story of killer robots is going to just destroy everything that Isaac Asimov tried to write about.
Isaac Asimov died in 1992 after contracting HIV from a blood transfusion. His daughter manages his literary estate. She approved the film.
Doc!
Deactivate!
Let him go.
It's not going to hurt us. I gave you an order.
He's not listening right now, lady.
It seems like this that infuriate Asimov fans. Just seeing the trailer convinced many of them that the film used and abused Asimov's famed three laws of robotics. That set of rules made robots fundamentally incapable of hurting human beings. Not so in the movie.
Laws are made to be broken.
No, not these laws. They're hardwired into every robot.
A robot can no more commit murder than a human could walk on water.
Well, you know, there was this one guy a long time ago.
Unhappy fans have launched websites and internet petitions against the movie. But iRobot's director says he's a fan of the book, too. Alex Proyas describes his movie as a reinterpretation of how the three laws govern robot behavior.
I see it as kind of this prequel. It's not based specifically in any of the stories as such.
Originally, Proyas says, he wanted to do a straightforward adaptation of I, Robot, but the book's rights were then unavailable. So instead, he started developing a screenplay by Jeff Vintar called Hardwired that included some Asimovian aspects.
Sometime later, the iRobot rights did become available, and we decided to merge some of the plot points of the robot stories with Jeff's central kind of narrative.
Jeff Vintar is now scripting Asimov's Foundation series, but he's not the only person who's struggled with adapting Isaac Asimov to the screen. He's not even the first to write a screenplay of I, Robot. Hollywood optioned the book decades ago, and Warner Brothers hired Harlan Ellison to take a crack at the script back in 1977. Ellison is a prolific writer who was friends with Isaac Asimov.
Isaac's approbation on the script was of utmost importance to me. Apart from him being one of my closest friends and someone I just admired endlessly, it was necessary if you're going to take classic work to do it in such a way that nobody is ashamed of it.
Ellison's adaptation of I, Robot won kudos from Asimov himself as both faithful and wildly imaginative.
He did capture the essence of Asimov, and he went beyond it.
Irvin Kershner directed The Empire Strikes Back, and for a while in the 1980s, he was slated to direct Ellison's screenplay, too. But Kershner says it was too long, too expensive, and too complicated.
He just loaded it up with too many ideas and too many concepts, but if they'd left me alone, we could have worked together and taken it down to size and, I'm sure, made a terrific film.
Why no one ever got to see that film is a classic story of Hollywood hubris. Ellison discovered, after turning in his draft, that the executive helping him to develop the screenplay never bothered to read it.
And I lost it. I got out of my chair and came around and grabbed him up from behind his desk. And I'm a little guy, but I studied with Bruce Lee, and I was in the Army. So, I got some musculature. And I yanked this fellow out of his chair, and I said, "You gobbet of human..." I said, "You've got the intellectual capacity of an artichoke."
That artichoke comment resulted in more than Ellison's swift removal from the project, says director Irvin Kershner.
It was very unfortunate that he became very angry, and I think that his anger against Warners and against their attitude may have been partially the problem with them dropping the entire project.
Harlan Ellison's screenplay languished at Warner Brothers, but it began to develop a reputation in some circles as the greatest science fiction movie never made. The screenplay was published as an illustrated book 10 years ago, and it's still in print today. Ellison's fans lobbied the studios to film his screenplay for iRobot, but Alex Proyas, who directed the version in theaters now, says he was never interested.
I obviously have read it, but I didn't feel it was the movie I wanted to make.
Isaac Asimov's wife, Janet Jepson, says she doesn't think Asimov would care hugely either way. She wouldn't permit NPR to tape her voice for the story. Asimov liked movies, she says, but he didn't imagine his books cinematically, and he was realistic about the way Hollywood works. Jepson says she looks forward to seeing the film in theaters, largely because she likes Will Smith. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
To hear Harlan Ellison read a scene from his screenplay and provide some further thoughts on Isaac Asimov, visit our website at npr.org. This is NPR's Weekend Edition, directed by Ned Wharton, with production help from Phil Harrell, Elaine Heinzman, David Rector, Megan Moline, and Danielle Ivory. Stu Seidel is the senior editor, and the senior producer is Robert Molesky. Our technical director is Burke Hahn, with audio engineers Greg Gavin and Tom Carpenter. Key Molesky is our reference librarian. Our theme music was written by B.J. Lederman, with additional music from Steph Scageri and Greg Smith. Leanne Hansen returns next week. I'm Brian Naylor.